So as you know, Daniel, a mix of Daniel's life experiences and his friends, but also a lot of prophecy. It's bounced back and forth a bit. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream, laid out human history of the four kingdoms, and then chapter 7, the same thing. Tonight is more focused on the tribulation period, which is also part of the prophecy of Daniel. And so we will walk through that and learn from it tonight. So chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of the one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by the reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto him, that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true, wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was six certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So my title is from verse 25, he shall be broken. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now that we would learn, and we would grow from your word. I pray that you would guide us in your perfect truth, and that we'd be blessed to be in your word together, and fellowshipping together, praising together. Thank you. We give you this service and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So just like last week, this week is a bit more technical than usual, a little less practical, but that's how Daniel works. And we've already had heaps of practical with the lion's den, with the fiery furnace. But this, again, is mostly prophecy. And as you see, God interpreted it for us very clearly. And so Daniel, as we see in verse 2, was transported to the capital of Persia to be given the vision. And this ram with two horns that we saw there in verse 2, God interprets it for us later on in the vision, doesn't he? And who are the rams with the two horns? But on down in verse 20, the kings of Media and Persia. So remember, in the first vision, the image of Daniel chapter 2 and the four wild beasts of Daniel chapter 7, Media and Persia was the second of the four major kingdoms of mankind from that time. And that was the second. Remember, the head was the first, which is Babylon. But by the time this vision was given, Babylon was done and already defeated by the Medes and the Persians. So remember, this vision is over 65 years later than the first vision of chapter 2. Chapter 2, Daniel was just a teenager, and Nebuchadnezzar's the one that had the vision. Now Daniel's an old man, and he's been given another vision of the future, and still the Medes and the Persians are included. So then we see the he-goat in chapter 5, and the he-goat is none other than Greece. And we all know who that was. That was Alexander the Great, who was the third of the kingdoms of Nebuchadnezzar. It's the second of these kingdoms. And that was the leopard, remember? I'm sure you remember it was the leopard of Daniel chapter 7. I don't remember that, but I'm sure you do. And then we see that he gets defeated, and we see these four notable horns. And history tells us that when Alexander the Great's kingdom was broken up, it was divvied out to his four generals. That's a fact of history now, but this was prophetic that this would happen. And those were the same. Remember, the leopard in chapter 7 had four heads. And so the kingdom of Greece, which was the kingdom led by initially by Alexander the Great, broke up into four separate kingdoms and given out to the four generals of Alexander the Great. So on down, then we see verse 8, a he-goat, which waxes very great. And it says, out of them come a little horn. And it says in verse 10 that it will cast some of the host and the stars to the ground. So who is this little horn that waxes exceeding great? It can be none other than the Antichrist being empowered by the devil himself. Because no other king has cast the stars, and the stars here represent the angels of heaven, to the ground. Now, so go to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll get started. But as you'll see, this can be none other than the Antichrist being empowered by the devil himself. And these stars represent the angels that were deceived by the devil and cast out of heaven. Notice Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And his tail, so who's this talking about? This dragon, it says, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So this is the dragon. This is Satan. We all have understood and we've all studied and found that one third of the angels went with the devil. How do we know that? From Revelation chapter 12. This happened prior, it looks like, to the creation of man, but we don't know the timing of it. We'll find that out when we get to heaven. So anyway, this little horn that waxes exceeding great has to be the devil. And if you go back to our passage, chapter 8, verse 11, it says he will magnify himself even to the prince of the host. He's going to even stand up against Jesus Christ and sure enough, God tells us this. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, that's exactly what the Antichrist does. Remember, he's empowered by the devil. He will have the power to work miracles. He will have even have the power to bring the beast back to life during the tribulation period to trick the world into thinking that he is God. And notice chapter 2, verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians. It says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he," and here's the key words, "as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." I have those three phrases underlined in my Bible. As God, of God, and is God. That's what the devil's wanted from day not, is to be worshipped not as the devil, but to be worshipped as God. He's always wanted God's power. He's always wanted God's throne. And when he fell, that was his fall, wasn't it? He says, "I will be like the Most High. I will be like the stars of heaven. I will be above." And he wanted the throne of God. And so for a short time, called the tribulation period, he gets his wish, and people will worship him as God. So back to our passage, Daniel chapter 8, verse 13, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation?" He said 2,300 days. So that's a bit over 6 years. Now we know the tribulation is 7 years, but it's saying that for a bit over 6 years, the temple will actually be defiled. So it won't be initially defiled the first day of the tribulation period, but somewhere during that first year, the devil or the Antichrist defiles God's temple, and that defilement will last 2,300 days. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 24, so let's turn there. Remember, one of the key words there is the word desolation. Keep that word in your mind that we just read there in Daniel chapter 8. And look here in Matthew 24, verse 15. Jesus now is going to refer back to Daniel chapter 8 when Jesus is talking about the future. And look what he says, Matthew 24, 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by," who? "Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Jesus basically in Matthew, here in this part of Matthew 24, is giving mankind a manual on what to do during the tribulation period. And it's really, the manual's not complicated. Now, a lot of people won't have access to the Word of God because the Antichrist is going to try to discredit and get rid of the Word of God as much as he can. This doesn't apply to you if you're born again. You won't be here. But there will be some who maybe have heard the gospel and didn't get saved. Maybe some who it's in their heritage or whatever. And they're going to say, "This sure looks like the tribulation period. First of all those Christians disappeared. And I know the government's blaming it on something else, probably aliens, but it's still kind of weird that it happened. And now we got this one guy running the whole world, and there's only one church, and they're telling me that I can't buy or sell groceries without taking a mark. It sure sounds like something my grandparents told me way back. And hopefully they'll go grab a Bible, amen, and they'll turn to Matthew 24, and here's the advice from Jesus Christ himself: when you see it happen, when you see a man go into the temple in Jerusalem and essentially desecrate it, what should you do? Flee. That's your only option. Go and hide in caves. Flee into the mountains. I mean, your other option is you can take the mark and condemn your soul to hell. You can not take the mark and get your head cut off. Or you can flee. So that's pretty much your three options during the tribulation period. Just saying, if it turns out you're not saved and you get left behind, just telling you, here's the advice. Don't take the mark, whatever you do. Because if you do, you've condemned your soul to hell. You say, yeah, but I can't buy groceries. Well, it's groceries or hell. That's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? I mean, it might sound a bit silly, but that's how it's going to work. And 100 years ago, people would have laughed at all this, wouldn't they? We're not laughing now, are we? We're being told you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, and everybody lines up and does it. So that's the way it's going to happen in tribulation. They're going to say, you have to get this little thing. It's no big deal. You know, just line up and take it. Otherwise, you can't buy groceries. Okay, I'll take it. You just condemned your soul to hell. So don't take it. That's the first piece of advice. Second piece of advice is they're going to make it illegal for you to not take it. And the punishment is beheading. They're going to reinstitute that. We can thank the French for that. And then the other option is run. That Jesus said it. Amen. He put it right here in his word. What are we supposed to do if you're alive during a tribulation period, you haven't been saved, you're left behind, and you see the abomination of desolation, you see somebody go into the temple in Jerusalem, desecrate it, claim to be God. You need to stop and think, wait a minute, there was something in Daniel about this. And what did Jesus tell me to do? He said, I want you to flee. There in verse 16, flee into the mountains. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. In other words, pray that you can get out before the soldiers come to take you and take your head off. It almost sounds like something people have been making movies about for a long time, doesn't it? But it's been in God's word for 2,000 years. Jesus said, flee. Verse 21, then shall be what? Great tribulation. Now you know why we call it the tribulation period. Because that's what Jesus called it. Such as was not since the beginning of the world. It's going to be the worst ever, according to Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that's the abomination of desolation that Jesus is referring to. So let's go back to Daniel 8 now. Again, a little bit more technical, but let's get through this. So Daniel 8, then we see Gabriel get involved. And Gabriel, we're going to see, not only gets involved with Daniel, but if you remember, he also got involved another time in man's history. And if you don't remember when that was, it was when someone came and spoke to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptist and about Jesus Christ. And that's all found, we won't turn there, but it's all found in Luke chapter 1, where it was Gabriel, the same angel that spoke to Daniel hundreds of years earlier. It's the same angel that then came and spoke to Zechariah and also to Joseph. So spoke to Zechariah about John the Baptist and spoke to Joseph about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, so he came near while I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell upon my face. But he said unto me, I understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And so verse 20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Mede and Persia. We talked about that already. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, that is Alexander the Great. I'm sure he didn't know he was the rough goat when he conquered the world, but he was. And it says, verse 22, now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation. That's the four heads of the leopard, or the four generals that Alexander's kingdom was turned over to. Verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, it says, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This is the beast and the Antichrist. Verse 24, his power shall be mighty and not by his own power. So where does the Antichrist power come from? It comes from Satan. Does Satan have power? Absolutely. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Now, we're not to be afraid of him, but we're to be aware of him, right? Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus is greater and he indwells us. We're not to run around and be afraid of the devil, but we're not to take him on in a fist fight either, because we will lose. We need to resist him with the word. But he is the one that empowers. Notice Revelation 13. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. The dragon of Revelation 13 is the devil. By the way, Revelation 13 is the same chapter that talks about the mark of the beast and the number of the beast, which is 666. Which is why, superstitiously, for 2,000 years, man has been afraid of the number 13. It has to do with Revelation chapter 13. And the power for this beast, God calls him the beast, comes from the dragon. So remember that one. Go back to Revelation 6 now. Because we saw there in verse 24, the same passage, that it says, he shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Many, many saints will die during the tribulation period. Many. Notice Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. These are people that get saved during the tribulation period. They get slain for their testimony. And they're in heaven saying to the Lord, when's this going to be over? When are you going to avenge our blood against the devil? And of course, the Lord answers and tells them it won't be long. While we're here, go to chapter 12 again and verse 11 this time. Because these people, even though they lose physically by losing their heads, they win. Amen? And it's the same for us. We may lose some battles here on earth with this wicked world and even with the devil, but we win. Because we get heaven. We get to spend forever with the Lord. We have eternal life. That doesn't change. And so even though they lost their heads, they win. And that's what it says. Look at Revelation 12, 11. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They died, and they died a martyr's death, but God says they still overcame. They still won. And that is still true today. We still overcome. We may even get killed for our faith, but we still win. And the same will be true during the tribulation period. So back to our passage, Daniel 8, verse 25. And through his policy, well, we've sure heard that word a lot these days, haven't we? Through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. So the beast is going to run a very prosperous economy during the tribulation period. Even though the judgments of God are going to be coming down, on a worldwide basis, there's going to only be one government. And it's actually going to do quite well. It's going to prosper. And did you notice that last phrase, by peace he shall destroy many? It's also going to be a very peaceful kingdom. There won't be a bunch of wars. But guess what? Those pesky Christians are going to get killed. They're going to get their heads cut off. So that's what it means by it says, by peace he shall destroy many. It's going to be a peaceful kingdom because they're going to get rid of those crazy people that believe the Bible and are trying to tell others, that's not God, that's Satan. That's the Antichrist. Away with you. So it'll be a peaceful kingdom as long as they can get rid of those people that are against the Antichrist. Verse 25, and he shall stand up against the prince of princes. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. But praise God, he shall be broken. This is the end, which is good for all of us. He shall be broken without hand. Jesus defeats the Antichrist. We all knew this, but isn't that good news for us? So let's look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. We already read about when he goes into the temple and how that refers back to the abomination of desolation from Daniel chapter 8. But we didn't read the end here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When Jesus returns to the earth and us with him, at the end of the tribulation period, all he needs to destroy is the words of his mouth. Amen. The same words that created the world are the words that will defeat the Antichrist. He'll be dealt with. The Satan himself, as we know, will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then Jesus will set up his kingdom. But the Antichrist will be wiped out by Jesus Christ. We read this in Revelation 17 as well, if you want to turn there quickly. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. Who's this? This is the Antichrist's government world system. They'll have one army as well. And they actually think they can take on Jesus. And it says, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Amen? For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Jesus always wins. And he will win this time. So we'll finish Daniel 8. Go back there, verse 26. And the vision of the evening and of the morning, which was told is true. Wherefore, shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Go to Daniel 12. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Sound familiar? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. They didn't have the internet in Daniel's day, but they do now. And knowledge has definitely increased, but has it brought man closer to God? No. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It's leading people further and further away from God. But for you and me, what does all this mean? It means we've already won. Amen. We get taken out before any of this begins, the Antichrist and his kingdom. And whether or not God lets us watch from heaven, I doubt it, because it says he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. So I don't know how we could watch all of this take place and not cry over it. So I wonder how much of it he'll even allow us to observe while we're enjoying heaven. But after it all, it's finished. We come back with Jesus. Jesus defeats the Antichrist, sets up his kingdom, and we get to rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. And the point of all of this passage is, as we saw there in verse 26, or verse 25, he shall be broken. Jesus wins. And if you're born again, you're on his side. Amen? And he's on your side. So it's fascinating and miraculous how God could have laid all this out over 2.5 millennia ago, and it's still all going to take place exactly as written. We can see a lot of it already taking place. We can see all the devil preparing everybody for it, and we can just sit back and say, what? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Because he will be broken. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the beautifulness of your prophecies and